Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Denise, a busy day here on the UTEP campus. It's day one of the FloraFest Native Plant Sale going on today until 4 p.m. And I know that it must have been hectic when the gates first opened there at 9 a.m. because I know that at the very beginning of a plant sale, it's just a flood of people coming in with their wagons.
Right, exactly. And you know what? They've been preparing for the sale for a very long time. Yes. It takes a lot of planning and actually seeing what's out in the nurseries to be able to bring back to El Paso. So they've been putting the plant sale all together. It's ready. It's open for the public. There's plenty of people to stop and ask questions if you have any particular questions on the plants that you're trying to purchase or to kind of put in your yard. So a lot of experts out there volunteering their time to spend with you.
And there are so many varieties of plants. There are trees, there are shrubs, there are annuals being sold at the Native Plant Sale. And of course, if you have any questions, make sure you find Denise or another one of her master gardeners. A lot of other volunteers are there to help you find the right plant for the right place. And I think that's one thing that we really want to focus on today is once you buy that plant, where are you going to put it? And I think that's very important when it comes to maybe how you're houses facing north, south, east, west, especially if that plant is going to be serving a purpose. Like maybe you want a shade tree, right? And they have oaks available at the Native Plant Sale, a number of other trees as well that could serve a nice purpose for a shade.
Yeah, definitely.
Tree.
And when you're looking into putting in plants, look at them for the long-term effects. You know, annuals are great. You know, you have them, they have a great show of color, and then they can either recede or die off and be done with. But when you're really looking to get a plant, especially a native plant, something that does really well in our area, you want to make sure you put it in the right location so it can thrive and it also works for you. So if you're talking about shade trees, for example, you want to put those on the southwestern portion of your yard because that obviously that's where the sun is going to set and cast a shade over to your yard and not your neighbors. So we want to make sure that we keep all of those positive attributes into our yard as well. And also to look on that, you know, you really want to pick those really tough plants that are going to be able to handle that western sun, that southwestern sun, because a lot of times it's that direct heat in the afternoon, but then also that radiated heat coming off the building,
yes,
the structure of your house, your rock wall fence, things like that. It is still going to still be really warm on that. But there's plants for every portion or every side and every direction of your lawn. Or over your yard, I should say. And one thing to kind of keep in mind is, of course, that almost that cooler side of that north side of your structure of your house, that one's going to really get a lot colder. There's not going to get a lot of direct sun on there. We saw a lot of plants that I went through neighborhoods after that big 2011 freeze, mm-hmm, and you could see the same plant planted on the same street just by opposite sides of the street.
Oh, wow.
And then you could see how, in fact, a lot of some of the trees that were planted on the north-facing side of the house died.
Wow.
You know, because it was that cold temperature and the guy across the street was doing just fine. So it does make a big difference. Know a lot of your microclimates in your area, in your yard. Kind of look at those areas if you want to make sure that if you have a lot of, if you don't have a windbreak or a structure, you want to make sure that, you know, you put something on there to reduce that. Maybe a little bit more difficult or densely planted residential, mm-hmm, areas. But if you have a large area of land, you want to make sure that you get some nice windbreaks there.
I mean, and I have seen a lot of areas where they plant a lot of, you know, Italian cypress, you know, in a row to act as a windbreak, which I would assume would be pretty effective. Unfortunately, you do have to deal with the problem of spider mites in the summertime.
Right, exactly. And there's a lot of different options as well. We do have a lot of an abundance of Italian cypress in El Paso. But there's also other things that you can look at that are more of an upright growing plant. Don't forget to look at your multi-trunked trees or large shrubs as well, because those also add a lot of visual interest and they're much higher up to your eye level to be able to be, you know, appealing to you and to your landscape as well.
You know, I myself have a north-south facing home, which means the inside of my house, because I guess where the windows are, doesn't really get a lot of direct sunlight. But yeah, the backyard does get very, very warm in the summer when the sun is going down. And of course, the north part is almost always in shade, with the exception of maybe a few hours right. in the morning, depending on the season. And we tried an experiment and it failed. And I knew it was going to fail. We wanted to plant a rose bush in the courtyard on the front of my house, which is north facing, mm-hmm. which is almost entirely in shade. And I thought, it's probably not going to make it.
Right.
And it didn't. Right. And that's because it never received that direct sunlight that it's supposed to have to thrive.
Exactly. And roses, believe it or not, do really well on the east side of your property. They get that nice morning sun as well, but then they kind of get a relief of that really strong afternoon sun that we all avoid, you know. Plants, not plants don't avoid it, but
they're kind of stuck there. They can't really go anywhere.
I guess people and pets avoid, yeah. I should say, in the afternoon. But so, yeah, so your nice rose bushes were going to do great on your east portion of your property. But don't feel that you're limited to things. Just know exactly mm-hmm. what you need to be able to push or put in your area. Columbine are having a moment right now, which is a really nice perennial, very great, really nice flower. They have some really great yellow ones. And the leaves is kind of like reminiscent to me of kind of like a cilantro.
Yeah, because I was going to say they look very parsley, cilantro-like. Yeah. And then the flowers are like something out of outer space or something.
Right.
They are just beautiful.
Exactly. And they certainly thrive in that nice north area of your lawn.
So there really are a lot of plants available for all of our little different microclimates that we have around our home. And again, if you are looking for a particular plant at the plant sale today and know exactly where you want to plant it, make sure that you mention that to the volunteers that are assisting you, because they might tell you otherwise. And, you know, that columbine might not do well on that side of your home. Mm. If you have somewhere to put it on the other side, consider putting it there instead.
Exactly. And one of the most popular plants at the native plant sale, because I usually volunteer and work in the shrub areas. So mm-hmm. there's like the trees and the shrubs and then the little ornamentals in the front. And a lot of the most popular shrubs that we see are the Salvia greggii, which is a cherry sage. And people see it and they think, oh, this is wonderful. It's this great pop of red color. But you know, Salvia greggii really can benefit from some nice afternoon shade. So kind of keep that in mind. It'll do better, you know. So you want to make sure that, you know, when plants can survive in it, but also where are they going to thrive?
Is that the salvia where if you sort of brush against the plant, it leaves a very herby scent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
a very fragrant plant. Maybe some people might not be very attracted to the scent.
Right.
But it is a very aromatic plant. And I never realized this until I started seeing volunteer salvias popping up around my yard. But it does, I guess, volunteer itself rather freely.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah. So just keep that in mind. And it is a true salvia, a sage. Our Texas sage that we mm-hmm. are very popular in El
the
Paso.
The silver-leafed ones with the little purple flowers that come out whenever it rains or if it's humid.
Yes, and those Texas sage are not a true salvia. They're lycophyllum, so keep that in mind as well. And some grow faster than others, but they too also rapidly recede.
Yeah, I have a volunteer. Yeah, my neighbor's Texas sage volunteered into my parkway. And so it's just there.
Yeah.
Looking pretty.
Yeah.
I may decide to move it if it gets any bigger, but it looks fine now.
Right.
So I guess that's another thing to ask the volunteers if you're going to the plant sale today, to ask them, you know, how is this plant going to propagate? Is it going to die down to the ground maybe in the cold weather, you know, like some of our lantanas where you do need to sort of cut them down to the ground. And then in the spring, they'll just come right back up year after year after year. Same with the yellow bells.
Right.
That also, they pretty much freeze down to the ground every year, but they come back up just as beautifully every spring. So if you don't mind that extra yard work, you know, consider getting those plants. Or if you're just looking for something for a pop of color seasonally, I'm sure that the volunteers can help you out. If you're looking for a tree, always ask how big is it going to get before you decide to plant it up against your house.
Right, exactly. Because those pots are going to be about 15-gallon pots. So you're talking about a 5-6 foot tree right now. But if you get into the right location, it's really going to take off. So make sure you got to stop by and ask your tree experts out at the plant sale what you're looking for and how is that going to fit into your property. But just keep in mind for folks that are listening to us, native plants are a great adaptation to be able to add into your yard, whether if you have a xeriscape yard or if you want to incorporate more native plants into your lawn. But one thing to remember is that native plants really don't do that well in containers. Mm. So make sure that you want to make these plants really full out to their best benefit. So look for a place to plant them in the ground.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to buy a geranium and you can put it in a pot. They tend to look better as well in a more natural landscape.
Right, exactly. So kind of keep that in mind. Save your containers for something else.
Yeah, you know, for a nice agave. You know, I'm sure you're going to have plenty of those at the native plant sale.
Exactly.
And those can look nice in a large pot if you're going to have that on your patio.
It's very striking. I love the geometric shapes and the patterns that the agave whorls of leaves will have. So, you can certainly have a formal garden, if you will, if you just kind of stick to your agaves and that real geometric shapes that they do provide.
Well, we were talking about lawns and we haven't really mentioned any grass. And you know, I don't think you want to plant any native plants in your grass.
Right.
It's probably going to look a little unusual. But if you are looking to maybe improve the look of your lawn, if you do have some, and of course, there's always a place for a lawn in a landscape, there's going to be a Gardening 101 workshop that's going to be taking place early May the 6th, and it's going to focus on lawns. And what's the name of the workshop?
It's called Lawn is Not a Four-Letter Word.
There you go.
And those series of Gardening 101 talks are put together with the Master Gardeners out at the Vista del Valle Community Center out on the east side. But it's a really great way to talk about lawns and exactly what do your lawns need and how do you, keep them healthy, weed-free, but still, not just having a lawn just to mow.
Just to look pretty,
exactly.
To compete with your neighbor.
Right, exactly. So there's a lot of other things that you can do to kind of build all of that in. So stop by and visit with the Master Gardeners, and they'll be talking all about backyard lawns.
And that's going to be a workshop with Doc Stalker, who's been with us before here on this program. That's going to be on Friday, May the 6th at 4 p.m. And the Master Gardeners are also involved in some library talks as well.
Right, exactly. The library has a new initiative. So we're putting together talks at three different libraries all throughout town for the next 6 months. So it's a really great way. People always ask me, when's your next talk? When's your next program? When's your next educational workshop? And, believe it or not, there's a lot of things going on. Please, visit Good to Grow page and as well as the Master Gardener homepage as well. Or give the help desk a call and see exactly what's coming up and how you can register for that.
And that number is 771-2354, 771-2354. And remember to get to the native plant sale happening today and tomorrow, today until 4 o'clock. And as John White was telling us last week, it's first come, first serve. They don't have any plants on reserve. Whatever is there is up for grabs. So
yes.
Tomorrow the plant sale continues from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we hope to see you all out there. Say hi to Denise and
That's
say
right.
how much you love the Good to Grow.
That's right.
We want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.